Father, we want you, Father. We want you to have your way. We want you to speak into our lives and to help encourage us, Lord. I pray that as we listen and hear and contemplate on your word and your verses, your scripture, and as you speak to us, Lord, that it'll just quicken something inside of us, that it'll make it alive and help to foster growth in our life, that we don't stay the same as we were before, that we reach another level. We go a little bit deeper, a little further with you, that we get deeper into the ocean, so to speak, where we get into where we have no choice but just to depend on you. And Father, your good and your awesomeness will flow through, and your love and your mercy, your grace just overwhelms us. And as we live a life like that, then we will then begin to be grateful, to share, to pour you into other people around us, Lord. I'm praying for these things, believing for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. So I'm going to talk about, like Margie said, something that holds you back a little bit in your finances or whatever area. But I have found that one of the most crippling things in the life of any believer is this right here. It's fear. Okay, it's being afraid of certain things. It stops people from experiencing God's best for your life. Okay, so let's get rid of it. Should we? Are you guys with me? I know, if God doesn't want it in my life, I don't want it in my life. And I'm going to show you the scripture that he doesn't want it in your life. So we'll get into it. So let's start with a little bit of defining of fear. Okay, a little bit about what fear is. The first thing you have to know about fear is that in the Bible, especially in the King James Version of the Bible, that term fear is used in kind of different ways. You know, we think about a fear of God versus a fear of falling. You know what I mean? They're two different kinds of fear. Well, in the King James, they kind of use the same word to describe both, which I think is very interesting. Okay, in almost every instance, when you see it in the New Testament, the translators used the same Greek word called phobio, phobio. Okay, or they use kind of its derivative of that phobio, and that's phobos. Okay, and if you think of that, you can kind of figure out where we get our English word phobia, right? Arachnophobia. Okay, it's a fear of spiders, right? And so you can look up, there's a gazillion phobias out there on all different kinds of things. Well, basically it means a fear of. Okay, well, phobio or fear in its deepest sense refers to exactly what you think it does. It means to be afraid, right? Or that deeper word phobos literally means to be in terror, okay? To be deathly afraid or terrified. Okay, it is, quote, the emotion elicited by a sense of alarm or danger. Okay, you've heard of the fight or flight response, right? Where you get into a situation, you're either going to fight or you're going to flee. Okay, well, that fear is what helps play a part in that on what exactly you're going to do. You sense danger or an alarm and you're going to act accordingly. Well, the Bible describes how at one point, speaking of the fear, it describes how the disciples were overcome with fear, okay, thinking that Jesus walking on the water towards them was a ghost. Okay, and they got into what the Bible called phobia or fear. Okay, the sight of the risen Christ after he had risen from the dead, the Bible describes in Matthew that it overwhelmed the soldiers with phobia or with fear. They were just stricken with fear. How can this be? Okay, in other places in the Bible, that word phobos can indicate a sense of awe or amazement. Again, like the same word being used to describe people being afraid of something is the same word that we would think of as used to describe the fear of the Lord, okay? Or the reverence of the Lord, the awe that we have of him. And this type of fear is it's that reverencing and that honoring kind of fear. It's the one that indicates that you have a healthy attitude towards the Almighty God. You know, he's not just a, you know, passerby or somebody that is not worth recognizing. He is somebody worth respecting with your entire life. We live with that fear of the Lord. For example, Jesus said this. It's in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. He said, to fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Okay, Jesus was basically telling them that they should not be bluffed into silence by the threats of bullies. Okay, if you read this whole passage, that's kind of where he was going with it. He was implying that there is nothing that men and women can do to your soul, okay, or your core being. But then he goes on and he tells them that you should reserve your fear solely for God, okay, who holds your entire life, your body, your soul, your spirit, all in his hands. Hey, oftentimes when we think about the term fear, it describes the emotion that you feel when you are anticipating a negative experience. Okay? People are afraid of something, right? We've got a big deal that we're going into or something. We're kind of afraid of how it's going to turn out, or there's whatever. You ever have a sickness going around the house and you get into fear? You're afraid it's going to get on you. Okay, or you've got things that go on in life. We tend to, at times, become fearful of things. We're afraid to do it. Some people are afraid of flying, or afraid of spiders or whatever. We have those phobias. But I want to tell you that that sort of fear is not meant to be part of your life. Okay, remember Jesus was just making a point that not to be afraid of those who cannot kill your body, but to fear him who has your whole life in his hands. Okay, he was saying that fear should be reserved for God. Okay, that if you're going to be afraid of anything, okay, we need to have a divine reverence of the Almighty God. Okay, now I looked up some things. You can Google anything, right? Or DuckDuckGo anything in my life. But you look up things and you find out, I wanted to see, what are the top fears these days? Because I know it kind of changes as generations come up. Different ones are afraid of different things. And what I found is, an internet search gets so many different lists. The top 10 list, it was just one after another. Everybody had a different top 10 list. And they all had different things on it. So there's a lot of different things that people are afraid of. That's what that told me. Okay, it's not just these 10, it's a lot. Okay, well, I did see one list that I've seen it before, and it was put out by a top psychology magazine. Okay, and they listed out the 10 most feared things in America, okay, in our country. Okay, and the top 10, you don't have to write them down, and I'll explain why you don't have to write them down in a minute. But the top one was change. Okay, people fear change. Okay, going to be different. Okay, number 2 was loneliness. Okay, number 3 was failure. People have a fear of failure. That one catches a lot of people. That's why people do not step out and try things, because they're afraid of failure. They're in fear of that. Okay, number 4 was rejection. Okay, another reason why people don't do a lot of things in life. They're afraid of being rejected. Number 5 is uncertainty. Okay, not knowing. Okay, don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Number 6, something bad happening. Okay, number 7 was getting hurt. Number 8 was being judged. Number 9 was inadequacy. And number 10 was listed as a loss of freedom. Okay, now, whether you're currently afraid of any of these things, or maybe even something that's similar to them, it really doesn't matter. And I'm going to explain this statement. I'm going to show you that as a Christian believer, you do not have to be afraid of any of those things. Any of them. On any of the lists that I saw, I did not see one thing that we have to be afraid of. Okay, and I'll explain this. Every one of these fears, for one thing, is refuted by the Word of God. Okay, now, when if you think about even like change, okay, people are afraid of change. That was number 1 on the list. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, it tells us to take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take care of the things of itself. Okay, in other words, tomorrow is going to bring change, right? So why fear something if it's inevitable, if it's already in motion, if it's going to happen anyway? Why are we afraid of it? It's going to happen. Okay, it's a constant part of our lives. Change is going to be there. Things are, I think change is very hopeful myself, because tomorrow is going to be different than today. And if I had a rough day today, tomorrow is going to be even better. It's going to, if I had a great day today, tomorrow can be even better, right? That's the way I look at it. Okay, when you're secure in your relationship with God, okay, and here's where it ties into Christians. Okay, when you're secure in your relationship with God, change is not scary at all. Okay, because change is not something new that you're going to have to experience without God. Okay, change, all change is something different that you're going to go through with. How about loneliness? That was pretty high on the list. The Bible says that you're never alone, right? You are the dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the literal dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God. Another verse says that Christ is in you. Okay, God said that as a child of His, that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, that's a promise from God, and God doesn't lie. If He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you, that's what's going to happen. That's the way it is. Okay, how about a fear of, well, let me back that up just as a side note. I was thinking about loneliness, and I was thinking about me as a young single person, especially when I became a Christian. I was not lonely at all. I mean, I won't say I could care less about other people in my life, but I had Jesus, and I was so close with Him during that time. It was fantastic. It was like every day was a new day, and He was my best friend. We went places. We did this. We'd go out to eat together. We'd go fishing together. We'd read Bible together. You know, everything was with my best friend. So how could I be lonely in that? I was so content just to know that I had Christ in me, and that this is my life now, and that I get to go forward with God. And you know, eventually God changed that, you know, and I'm grateful for where it has gone now. Okay, but that's where we don't have to worry about being lonely. Okay, our fear of failure was on that list. Now, when I think of failure, and I don't know if this is kind of a secular way of reasoning it, or I think it's more divine because of what I see in the scriptures, but to me, failure is not something to be afraid of. Because failure is not a mistake. I don't think failure is a failure unless we don't learn from it, right? If I make a mistake, I made plenty. But if I'll learn from that and realize, oh, I'm not going to do that again, or I'm going to try this now, I'm going to go a different direction, or whatever it is, then I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Okay, the Apostle Paul said that he had learned that in whatsoever state he was in, there was to be content. And he wasn't talking about Wyoming or Montana. He meant the state of mind, right? Whatever state of mind, whatever state or condition, whatever circumstance you could say I'm in right now, he had learned to be content with that. Okay, Paul had also said that he had not figured everything out, but the one thing he had figured out is letting go of the past and pressing towards the things which were in front of him, that he could reach that prize that God had for him by not being hung up by failures, okay? Had Paul made any mistakes in life? Well, he was killing Christians, you know, for one thing, putting them in prison and, you know, going around preaching that Jesus was the Antichrist, right? In a way. He had made some mistakes in life, but he wasn't going to let that hold him back. He was going to press through and say, God's got more for me. I think I put that scripture in there. It's Philippians 3:13. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Okay, that is an attitude. Okay, that is saying I'm not going to be held back by failure. That is going the other direction. That's why I think I have no fear of failure. Okay, fear of rejection. Okay, how many believe that Jesus bore your sins on the cross? How many believe that? You truly believe Jesus Christ died for me. He took my sins. He bore them on the cross. Guess what else He bore on the cross? He bore your rejection. Okay, He endured rejection even while hanging on that cross so that you would not have to endure it. Okay, in Mark chapter 15, it's talking when Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's bleeding, He's dying, He's not breathing. Okay, but at that it says in the ninth hour, Mark 15:34. In the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Remember that it is God's thoughts, okay, it's God's attention, it's God's attitude towards you that matters, okay, more than what man can say, more than what people come up with and their thoughts towards you, what God thinks of you is what really matters. Jesus suffered this moment of rejection on the cross so that you would never have to experience it, okay, the ultimate rejection would be to be rejected by God, am I right? Okay, A lot of people come and go, they'll turn on you in a heartbeat. God never does. He says He would never leave you nor forsake you. He is constantly on your side. Okay, and to know that moment of rejection is never going to come for us, to me that means the ultimate's already been taken. I mean, you know, if you're a one-up guy, you like to get to the top. I want to suffer the ultimate rejection, but I can't, right? Jesus already did it for me. So why even bother with it? Why bother being rejected? Why go around feeling like, oh, people don't like me. Oh, people don't, they might not like me if I say this or do this or whatever. You know, there's another one that was on that list called fear of uncertainty. Fear of uncertainty, not knowing, you know. You mean you don't have tomorrow all figured out? You know, there's a feeling inside of you that says that you're not in complete and total control of the circumstances of your life. Well, guess what? That's okay, because that's exactly what the Scripture says we are to get to that point. Remember Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust not in thine own understanding, right? So to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Boy, if you don't have that one underlined in your Bible, that's a good one. Put it up in your life. Refrigerator, stamp it on your forehead so when you look in the mirror, that's what you see. I'm not depending on my own self here. Okay? God has got things figured out, and we don't have to fret about whether or not we have it all understood. You don't have to know what you're going to be doing in 5 years from now. You don't have to know what you're doing tomorrow, necessarily. Now, God will give you some insight. He'll give you goals. He'll give you a desire. Okay? But it doesn't mean that you have to have it all figured out, that it's going to happen exactly this way, because it's probably not. Okay? Sometimes you can force stuff to happen your own way, but it doesn't always happen that way. Okay, and we need to be okay with that. We need to be trusting in the Lord with all of our heart. Okay, not just some of our life, saying, well, God, You can rule in this part of my life and You can rule in that part of my life, but don't, you know, mess with this part. Okay, we want to trust Him with the whole thing. We want to give our relationships and our finances, our life, okay, every area, our work, you know. If you're working someplace, or if it's your family or whatever it is, we got to turn that over to God, that we're going to trust in Him, okay, and not have to have things all figured out, because He knows so much better than we do. You know, another one that was on that list is being judged, okay? Even unbelievers love to quote the verse, judge not lest you be judged, right? They throw that at you because they don't want you pointing out anything in your life, okay? There is a righteous judgment, and I'm not talking about that, and I think that though that lost people probably don't even like righteous judgment. I don't mind righteous judgment and accountability. I think it's healthy. It's good for us. We're supposed to have that in our life. Okay, but in Hebrews, it says this, Hebrews 13, 6, it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Okay, because people are going to have opinions. How many know people have opinions? Look online. Man, I'll tell you, it's pretty crazy anymore. Don't look online. Let me rephrase that. Don't look online, because everybody has an opinion and it's not that healthy to get all that in you. Okay, but we read the words of Jesus earlier where He said not to fear man, but to fear God. Okay, God's the one that matters, not the people. Now, I don't know about you, but on most lists that I've heard of when it comes to, you know, the top 10 list of things people are afraid of, really high on the list, I've always heard that it was fear of public speaking. Anybody ever heard that was on that list? Okay, well, I noticed that it wasn't even on this list, in the top 10 or anywhere even close to the top. And I think that's because some of the ones I've already named, the fear of rejection, okay, is on there. That fear of failure is on there. Fear of being judged is on the list. Okay, so those three things are why people are afraid to speak publicly. They're afraid to be rejected, they'll be judged, they'll be criticized, they'll be, you know, they're going to fail at it or whatever. Okay, and I think that's why it's not on there anymore, because they figured out it's a deeper cause than that. It's a combination of all these things why people don't like to speak publicly. Now, I could go through, and I'm not going to go through the rest of the things on that list, but I could name every one of the things that people fear. And I can give you a scripture that contradicts it. Okay, a scripture that says, do not be afraid of this. Scripture that says, that's not the correct way of thinking. Okay, you might be thinking that, well, You know, Pastor, just because it says the opposite of these fearful things in the Bible, it doesn't mean that it won't affect me. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't have fear just because it says the opposite of that in the Bible. Okay, but even that attitude does not change the fact that we are not to live in fear of anyone or anything but God. Okay, ultimately, and maybe you've seen this before. I mean, there's lots of scriptures that talk about not being afraid, and good ones out there in the Bible. But as I was going through this, I guess it struck me that, you know, we think of fear as kind of a healthy behavior. I was taught, I have a psychology degree, and so I thought, you know, I grew up with that understanding that, you know, fear could be a good thing in certain situations, and that's kind of the way I've deemed it for many years. And as I'm reading through the Bible the last few years, and this especially the last few months, God has shown that we're not to be afraid of anything except Him, that we reverence Him and everything else comes into play. And I can give you some explanation of it as we go through this. God's Word is so powerful that for me, the Bible, and I think for millions of other believers, the Bible is the infallible Word of God. The Bible is God's final answer, the final say on all matters. Okay? We can have opinions, we'll get into that, but sometimes your opinion doesn't matter. Let me just say that. And it doesn't in a conversation with me if the Bible contradicts your opinion. If God's Word says this and you're trying to convince me otherwise, you can go on all day long and it's not going to get through, because God's Word is the final say on all matters. Okay, God's Word is so powerful that He literally said in Isaiah 55:11, He says, "So shall my word be, that it shall go forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." That's God saying that. Okay, and I believe that. Okay, I stand on that. I wholeheartedly believe that. And because of my steadfast belief in that statement, I trust the Word of God to be the final authority on all things, and I consequently live with very little fear in life. Hey, now there, I'm not saying, and don't get me wrong, people walk away saying, "Oh, Pastor says I can't be afraid of anything." You shouldn't be afraid of anything. I shouldn't be afraid of anything but God. Hey, I know if you had a bad experience with something that there's going to be a negative mark in your mind. Okay, and maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's some reason that, you know, even that experience, that the thing you learned from that experience is that I don't want to do that again. Okay, and I get that. There are things that we go through in life like that. We had, many of you heard the story of the rafting incident going down the river a few years ago, and we got pinned, our raft got pinned under. It was a bad experience. Okay, for the entire family. It was on a 4th of July, and it was bad. Okay. The boys and I have gone rafting since then, but Margie has not, okay? And I'm not saying she's afraid of rafting. It was a bad experience for her, and she's not real sure she wants to do that again, okay? And I get that, and I'm not saying that we won't have things that we'll do differently because of experiences, so please don't take me wrong. But I'm saying that we can live with very little fear in our life if we'll grab onto the fact that God's Word is the final say on things, not what people think, not other things. Okay, when I read a verse, and here we finally get to the verse that started this whole message. It's 2 Timothy 1:7. When I read a verse like 2 Timothy 1:7, where he says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When I read that, I believe that. Okay, and so I believe that God has not given that to us. I take that literally, that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So where does fear come from? It's not probably God, right? It's not. Okay, the only fear that we're supposed to have is that fear of Him. Okay, God spoke through John, and He told us that fear has torment. Okay, now God is not going to torment you. Okay, that's not His goal in life. He's not going to torment you with fear and stress and worry and anxiety. Okay, so those things are not of God. Okay, so when we're losing sleep over it, we're stressing, we're uptight, you know, that, God is not trying to get a message to you. That's something you probably got yourself into. Okay, we get ourselves into stuff and we're in it, and now we're dealing with the weight of that. Okay, even when we're in that, that's that moment where Paul would say, I've learned to be content in every state I'm in. Okay, so even in that, you can still be content. You can find that solace and that peace and be at rest even during that time. Okay, God spoke through John, told us that fear has torment. I know people that are afraid to speak, okay, because they are they fear what people will think of them, okay, if they speak the wrong things. Or people don't ask for help because of their pride. Okay, they could get help, they could get freedom, they could get deliverance from something that has plagued them and troubled them for, you know, many, many years and tormented them their whole life, but they just live with it because they're afraid someone might not think as highly of them if they knew that they were not perfect. Okay? And that holds you back. People suffer for years because they're afraid to ask for prayer for healing. Okay? Don't want people gathering around me to, you know, lay hands on me and anoint me with oil in the name of the Lord and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. They don't want all that stuff. And so they'll just suffer through stuff instead of asking for prayer for healing. You know, one of the greatest hindrances in a Christian's life is being afraid of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Not letting Him have rule. What if people are afraid of something, if somebody's afraid of something, what do? They avoid it. Okay? Well, if you're avoiding the Holy Spirit, you're not going to experience the Holy Spirit. Okay? He won't leave you, but you can hold Him at arm's bay. Okay? You will not experience God's best for your life. Okay? You're afraid of something that's not even harmful. Okay? Something that is not negative in any way, yet you're holding Him at arm's length. You're holding Him away. He only has your best in mind. Jesus called Him a helper, right? Not a herder, right? He's a helper. The Holy Spirit will help you. Okay, and what I see so often is that people are afraid of things that they don't need to be afraid of. Okay, what is it? There's a proverb, and I didn't look that up, but something about the wicked flee when nothing is pursuing. Okay, there's nothing to even be afraid of, and yet they're running away from it. Okay, I gave a definition of fear earlier that said it is the emotion that is elicited by a sense of alarm or danger. Okay, but think about it. Do I really need that kind of fear, or do I just need a reverence for God and wisdom and an understanding of His love for me? You know, God made you at the top of the food chain, right? Think about it. Does He really intend for you to fear anything but Him? You're His prized creation. You're His numero uno. You're the best that He could do, and He made you. Do you think He wants you to go around being afraid of other people and animals or this situation or that? You know, numerous times in the Bible, we're instructed not to be afraid. The angels told Mary, and they told some others too, to fear not. Okay, Jesus told Peter to fear not. I will make you fishers of men. God told Paul, the Apostle Paul, to fear not. Okay, when the disciples were freaking out because he was walking on the water towards them, Jesus tells the disciples, be not afraid, it is I. You know, stop freaking out. I know I see tons of places in the scriptures where we are instructed to fear God. Okay, where it talks about or references the fear of the Lord. Okay, but nowhere do I see it being taught to us that we are to fear people, circumstances, sickness, or be afraid to do this or that. He doesn't put it in there. God didn't intend for us to be afraid to step out in faith. Okay, to be afraid to step out into the unknown or the things that are yet to come. Okay, here's where the second half of this verse comes in. Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what did He give us? He gave us power and love and a sound mind. Okay, now, let me give you a couple examples, see if you can relate to this. Guns can do me harm, right? Guns can kill me. But if I see one sitting on a shelf somewhere, should I be deathly afraid and run the other direction? No. Why? Because wisdom will tell me that that thing is not going to hurt me just sitting on a shelf. Okay? Now, people with guns can hurt me. But again, wisdom would tell me, not to go strutting around in downtown Chicago at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? Wisdom would still keep me from getting harmed by people with guns. Okay, it's using wisdom that God gives. Think about this example. Many of you have raised children or have been a child yourself. We tend to teach children not to run out into the street, okay? So they don't get hit by cars. Your mama ever say that to you? Okay, don't play in the streets. You're going to get hit by a car, okay? Now, are we teaching them to be afraid of cars? Or aren't we really teaching them to be wise about where they walk and play? Wisdom keeps you from the harm. Okay, wisdom is the principal thing. If you read Proverbs, it's all about wisdom and how great it is. Look at what the scripture says. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So not only does it explain specifically that God has not given you the spirit of fear, okay, but it explains what he gave you instead. Power, love, and a sound mind. He gave you the power of his name, okay, the power of the spoken word to set good things in motion or to stop something harmful in its tracks. He gave you love, and not just any love. He gave you the unhindered, unrestrained love from God himself. 1 John 4:18 says that there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Okay, John literally says that if you're still walking in fear, then you're being tormented and have not been made perfect. Okay, that means matured. Okay, you have not matured in your understanding of the love that God has for you. His care for you is divine. It's not human love. It goes beyond that. The love of God, the Bible says, is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost that was given to us by God. Okay, that means that the love is there. Okay, God's love is there, it's present, but it just needs to be uncovered and received. God says that his love conquers all. You ever heard that? God says that his love covers the multitude of sins. God says that his love never fails. Never. It's one of those words. God says it. And God can say it. Perfect love casts out fear. Okay? So God is not going to cast something out of your life that he intended or wants you to have or to live in. Okay? God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Okay, you don't need fear to keep you from doing stupid and harmful stuff because God has given you a sound mind. A sound mind describes the wisdom that you need to make good and sound decisions that will keep you from harm. Okay, many people have heard or read Psalm 91. Okay, and I read this not too long ago and I was like, that's it. That's exactly why he can say God has not given you the spirit of fear. That's why he says that perfect love casts out fear. It's because we're not supposed to live in fear. Okay, it wasn't the intention. Okay, I don't know how many truly understand what this Psalm 91 implies for the believer, but I want to read a chunk of it to you. It's Psalms 91, starting in verse 1. It says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt thou see, and behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up, in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. This is one passage in the Bible, but you'll see many, I believe, after today. You'll see that God did not intend for you to live in fear. God doesn't want you to be afraid to be who you are in Christ. He wants you to step into it, to be who you are in Christ, to be a believer, to be one that trusts in Him, to be one that believes that what He says is true and that you can stand on it. He wants you to yield yourself to Him and allow Him to have His way in your life. Okay, God doesn't want you to be afraid. He simply wants you to be bold, to trust in Him, to be confident in Him and His ability in your life. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Amen. Father, we're praising You this morning. And Father, I know that spirit of fear has tried to get on many people over the years in this room and beyond. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus right here, right now, rebuke the spirit of fear off of our lives. Let us walk in the freedom that You intended. Let us be who You called us to be. Let us live out our life as a child of God, protected, guided by You, that Your angels are with us, Your spirit is with us, You're in us and with us all the time, that God, we can go forth through life without being afraid. That we can step into things we've never done. We can step up that ladder. We can go the next direction. We can do what You call us to do because You are with us. God, take away the spirit of fear. Eliminate it from our life. That, Father, our only fear is a reverence for You, an understanding of Your power and glory and divineness. Father, we reverence and are in awe of You. Father, take that spirit of fear and cast it far from each one of us. Let us not be hindered by it. Let us not be held back, but let us be yielded vessels to the Holy Spirit and all that You want to do. Father, we pray You, we thank You for these things. We give You the glory. You're the glorious one, and we honor You today. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.